Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What do you think about Donald Trump's Golden Dome initiative?
I think it's brilliant.
You think it's doable?
Is it feasible?
Is it doable?
Doesn't matter.
That's what my husband said. He was literally, my husband never gets into it with me on politics. And last night he's like, well, that's why we need the Golden Dome. And I was like, that's not happening, Sean. There's no way. It's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to be so expensive. He's like, babe, it's already happening. Like, they've been planning this for years. I'm like, no, they haven't. What are you talking about?
It's Reagan. Reagan's been talking about it.
He goes, I work in the defense industry. What are you talking about? He's like, this is Donald Trump. This could happen. And we got into it.
Welcome to Unfiltered, the exclusive Rivera and Reeves episodes where the gloves come off, the filters are gone, and we're not holding back.
In these episodes, we're diving deeper, saying the things we can't or won't say on the free feed, and delivering the raw, unpolished truth you've come to expect from us.
This is where we really dig into the stories that matter, call out the absurdity without any interruptions, and maybe even spill some behind-the-scenes tea. We're here because you're not afraid of a little controversy and a lot of sarcasm.
So grab your coffee, your bourbon, or both. This is Unfiltered. No spin, no fluff, just straight-up truth from your favorite news skeptics.
Hey, friends. It's Mercedes, and I am here with my friend Rachel, and we have a special guest, Amanda, for this episode of Unfiltered of Rivera and Reeves. Okay. If you're listening to us right now and you are not a paying supporter, I have very bad news for you because this is going to be cutting out in about 15 minutes and you're going to be really upset. So I would suggest that you click a link in the show notes to get access to this bonus episode. You guys know that we do a bonus episode once a month of Unfiltered, where Rachel and I typically, it's like a therapy session where we're kind of sharing our thoughts about what we haven't been able to discuss. But since things have literally lit up in the Middle East, we have our friend of the podcast, Amanda Peterson, here again to talk about what the heck is going on there. So welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to explain what's going on and hopefully bring some context to and calm people's minds, because yeah, I really think we're going to be okay.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else to be worried about this weekend. It's like... So Rachel, we were texting back and forth initially about, you know, what was going on. We should have you on. Initially, we were going to do this for the Tuesday episode, but it was just like so much. It was Rachel's idea. She's like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it tomorrow. So,
well, because by next Tuesday, there could be a whole other war happening. So I was like, this is happening right this moment. We need to talk about this because who knows what we're going to have to talk about on Tuesday. So
exactly. So,
well, and I'm happy to come back if it expands. So, okay. But it's going to be okay. I really think it's going to be okay.
Well, that's good to know, at least to set everybody at ease. So when did this pop off? It was Sunday night, correct? Yes. No, what? Not Sunday night. We're in Saturday.
Wow.
I feel like it's been a week.
Yeah.
It was Thursday night. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Thursday night for us, which would have been early morning in Israel, I think around like 2-3 o'clock in the morning over there, mm-hmm, everybody started getting reports that Israel had instituted and started strikes on Iran. And it wasn't until a few hours later that we got the full extent of what this operation was. And every time I heard a new detail on this operation, I was like, whether you agree with it or not, I was impressed. I'll be honest. I was just impressed of what they managed to pull off. And so I believe Bibi came on, the Prime Minister Netanyahu came on. It is Operation Rising Lion, which great name, by the way. Can you give us like the details or the rundown of what this operation was and why this is kind of a historical kind of standout operation?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I won't go too far into the history, but Iran declared war on both the United States and Israel in 1979 during the Islamic Revolution. When the Ayatollah came to power, he said, America's the big Satan, Israel's the little Satan. And then Iran has built up this proxy network to try and wage war against Israel so that when they can obtain the most powerful weapon that any country can have, a nuclear bomb, if Israel ever tried to stop them from taking out that bomb, that all of those proxies could just rain fire down on Israel. So when Hamas started the war on October 7th, then Hezbollah started firing on Israel from southern Lebanon. The Houthis started firing on United States and European ships, as well as at Israel from Yemen. There was some chaos, obviously, in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. And also there was some fire from Shia militias in Syria and Iraq. So Israel was literally surrounded by people attacking them. And all of those people that were attacked, and then obviously Hamas is funded by Iran too.
Yeah.
So all of these people that were, all of these people that were attacking Israel were told to basically by Iran. And we saw over the last year and a half of this conflict, Hamas is pretty much decimated. I don't really know what we're still doing with that war. I'm hoping that comes to an end because of this. Obviously, the pager incident decimated Hezbollah in a way that nobody knew could happen.
was impressive until I was like, wow, right. They are really, I mean, that's two for two.
Right.
If you're looking at the semantics of an operation, it was really well executed, both of them.
Right. I mean, the pager incident was the most precise attack on a terror group in history, I think.
Well, and just so in case our listeners don't know, the pager incident was that, real quick summary, Israel basically pretended to be a beeper telecommunications company, sold these pagers to Hezbollah because that's how they communicate, because they don't want to use cell phone signals because they can be tapped into. And they put incendiary devices or explosives in the beepers, and then they all went off at the same time, and a lot of them got blown up while shopping on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, and it was not enough to, I guess I can say kill here. I'm not on TikTok. I don't have to say unalive. It was not enough to kill a lot of them. Some of them did pass from that, but a lot of them just can't use their hands anymore because they lost their fingers or they lost other functions. What might be
where you would
pocket.
Hold a beeper.
Yeah. But basically everybody who was important enough in the Hezbollah organization, Hezbollah was more powerful than some mid-sized European militaries. That's how powerful they were. Everybody important enough to be carrying a pager was no longer able to fight. And so Israel could basically gut that organization in 10 days. And it was thought that if that war ever happened, it would be like the worst war that anyone's ever seen. So that happened. The Houthis are still firing away, which is, that's kind of a strategic failure on a lot of people's parts. They just don't really have a will to live, I guess. And then Iran. Iran has never waged war up till last year, had never waged war on Israel directly. They only used the proxies. But last year, twice, they fired ballistic missile barrages at Israel. The United States, UK, France helped intercept some of them. There were also drones involved in the attack immediately following Israel's attack on Iran in this time, but also in previous ones. We intercepted them. Israel's like Iron Dome, Arrow, David Sling system, their missile defense system intercepted some. But as soon as all of the proxies were decimated, Israel kind of understood, okay, Iran might make a dash for a bomb, and we might as well not allow them to get that capability, because if they get that capability, if one bomb is launched at Israel and it doesn't get intercepted.
Well, yeah, it's the end of Israel.
Yeah.
So now there was also, I saw reports that, I don't know, I don't remember the name of the organization, but the oversight organization on specifically nuclear weapons.
The IAEA.
Yep. Yes, correct. They had put out a statement that Iran either was close to what they had, like they mm-hmm. basically were confirming the concerns of Israel, because a lot of people are using kind of like the talking point, because, you know, a lot, especially as Americans, the reference point that we have is Desert Storm, the yep. Afghanistan war and everything like that. So they're like, oh, I've heard of weapons of mass destruction before. So they question.
Tucker Carlson had Jeffrey Sachs on and he started resharing that episode yesterday about how Tucker Carlson was like, I have been hearing that Iran was 2 weeks away from a nuke for 25 years.
Yeah,
and Jeffrey
me
Sachs,
too.
There's no nuke. They're not even close to it. Anyone who tells you that they want to bomb the United States is crazy and basically stupid. So what does that all mean? Where is that? I am interested. I was going to ask you this later, and we can talk about it later if you'd prefer. But
well, yeah, because I want to get to the operation first.
Okay.
Before we get sidetracked.
Yeah, I can go anywhere. Yeah.
But so like the details on the operation itself, like what did they, like why was this impressive?
Well, I mean, fog of war, so I think a lot more is going to come out. But what we know right now is the Israeli Air Force was able to fly, I believe, 100 fighter planes through Iraq, Syria, Jordanian airspace into Iranian airspace and face no pushback. There were no air defense systems. They have complete air dominance over Iranian airspace to the right now, days later, they still have complete air dominance. If a Chinese fighter plane or a Russian fighter plane flew into American airspace, do you know how fast that thing would come down? Like, they wouldn't do it. Iran can't do it. If they wanted to, they can't. In addition, like the Ukrainian attack on Russia a couple weeks ago, Israel snuck in an entire base of like a carrier of drones, which then it used those drones to go attack points in Iran. The intelligence that they had for this was incredible. The operational cover they had for this was incredible. President Trump was basically goading the Iranians into thinking, oh, nothing to worry about. I'm going to force the Israelis to capitulate. Tucker Carlson on his show, all of these other guys who are saying, oh, no war with Iran. We don't want anything. The Iranian regime listens to our media and they bought into those podcasters saying Trump's never going to let this happen. Apparently Trump was in on it the whole time. So basically, I mean, and this is a whole other thing. The Iran deal, we could go there if you want to in a little bit. Obama did the Iran deal. Trump pulled out when he was president in his first term. He also put maximum sanctions on so they couldn't build a bomb. When Biden came into office, he took a lot of those sanctions off. They started trying to get a bomb. And Trump said, I'm going to give the Iranians 60 days to negotiate a new deal, and they cannot enrich any uranium, and they have to completely dismantle all of their program. And he said, I'll give them 60 days. On day 61, that is when the Israelis did the strike. But they were able to target, I believe, 9 nuclear scientists. There's about 200 in Iran total. They took out all of Iran's top military brass, although there's some conflicting reports on that, because I think Iran doesn't want people to know that the entire top command has been taken out. They took out another slew of officials. And most importantly, they took out drone manufacturing capabilities as well as ballistic missile capabilities, so, like those factories. So basically, and then apparently there's also Mossad operatives on the ground.
I was going to ask about that, because when I read that there was basically some of their team working with mm-hmm. Israel to make this happen, I was like, I don't know how long they've been working on this operation, but if it was done relatively quickly, that's insane. Like, that they could put together all of these moving parts and have it be pulled off without any massive complication or and like without the Iranians knowing ahead of time at all. I mean, it was such a surprise. It's
right. Because they all went to sleep in their bed. They clearly thought nothing was coming.
Like, I saw video or saw photos or whatever where you see a missile go into an apartment.
Yeah.
And it's where one of these officers or scientists or whatever were sleeping. And I think reportedly, too, actually, I can't remember, but there was like a group, maybe it was the top brass, that was like kept in the same location, that they were lured into the same location and they were kept there. And then they... That's how they were able to take them all out at the same time.
They lured the entire Air Force there. We don't have a ton of details on that, but like they're going to make movies about this because this is incredible.
Well, and clearly to me, okay, because this to me also means that they had to have assistance internally, as in there had to be Iranians within the government that I would assume were helping them.
Yeah.
So my question is, are they helping them because Mossad is like that good at turning people, or is it because they're hoping to maybe improve their situation and rise to power, or is it because they have like a true moral, I don't know, opposition to the current Iranian government?
It probably depends on the person, but they're all three of those could be involved. There are estimates that like 80% of people living in Iran hate their regime. I think I just learned this actually a couple hours ago. My friend told me this. The GDP per capita in Iran is $4,000 per year.
Wow.
That is how crippled they are by. Yes, that's how. And like when people talk about the Middle East, and Iran is not an Arab country. It's not even really in the Middle East. We would consider it the Middle East, but it's very different than other, like the Gulf states or the Levant. It's kind of its own thing. It is a very extremely educated group of people. They have advanced degrees, but they can't work because there's no money to be had because of sanctions, really, from the United States. Because when the Iranian regime gets money, they don't spend it on bettering the lives of their people. They spend it on arming their proxies, building ballistic missiles, and building nuclear weapons, which they want to use to attack Israel and our positions in the Middle East.
So, okay. So I have a question about the people and their support of the Iranian regime, because, and of course, you know, a few videos can't speak for the entire population, but it seems to me when I was watching footage last night of the reaction of the people from within Iran, they were cheering the attack on Israel. They were happy. It was very much, very clearly saying death to Israel, death to America. Israel started this war. We're going to finish it. We want to get rid of Israel altogether. So I'm just wondering, it didn't sound resistant. Like, we just want this to stop. We just want peace. It was definitely pro action. Yes, pro regime. And so I'm wondering, is that just a small slice, an anecdotal kind of thing, or is that the sentiment?
Hey there, friends. You've just had a taste of the Unfiltered episode, our exclusive series where the gloves come off and the truth gets real. This content is just for paid supporters, and we'd love to have you join us. As a paid subscriber on our Substack, you'll get full access to monthly Unfiltered episodes, ad-free episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, and a community. It's the best way to support the show and get the full Unfiltered Rivera and Reeves experience. If you're ready to dive in, head over to Rivera and Reeves on Substack, the link is in the show notes, and become a paid subscriber. We can't wait to see you there.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.